Today she is for schus for shlema for shalom and bracha. Today shir in mesecht ksuba staff lamet ches. We will begin on daf lamet ches amar aleph, four lines from the top. Amalei rava. In our previous shir, we had discussed quite extensively that the Torah has a number of psukim that all teach us the same lesson, that when somebody did an aveira for which there's a chiv mesa, is chayiv to be put to death, paying a kapara, paying money, will not resolve that chiv. It was learned from one of the places we learned that din was from the pasuk of leisichu koifel nefesh ritzayach, which is said regarding if somebody murders someone else. And then the pasuk says kol cherim asheyachram, and we learned from the word kol cherim and Yechram, one was to teach us Chayvim Mises Chamuris, that there the halacha is we can't pay kapara, and the other psukim were for Tzeich B'mezid, as we discussed, one for Tzeich B'derech Aliyah, and one for somebody killing somebody else, Derech Yerida, as we mentioned at the end of our previous year, because since we find in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about people who kills somebody b'shoigig, the Torah differentiates between Derech Ali and Derech Yerida. That's why it was necessary here as well to have separate psukim. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rava. So Rava asks Rami Bechama, why would we need two psukim that want to teach us that if somebody kills Derech Yerida, he cannot be absolved just with paying mammon? And one for Pasuk, if he kills somebody, Derech Aliyah, he cannot be absolved just with paying money. So asks Rava, how many times be Chizkin Nafka? The Lacham, the Derech Yerida and Derech Aliyah are treated in the same fashion. We can learn from what the Tanit Be Chizkin told us. The Pasuk says, Umaka Behemi Yishalmena, Umaka Adam Yumas. And as we've learned, since the Torah puts these two halachas together, the halacha maka behema and the halacha maka adam, we learn from here that ma maka behema lechalakta b'mishegi l'mezit, when we speak about somebody damaging, harming someone else's animal, in that situation, there's no difference if he did it b'mishegi l'mezit, because as the Gemara in Masechta Bava Kama often teaches us, the halacha is adam mu'ud l'olam. If a person does damage, he's responsible under all circumstances. So the fact that he did the damage, the shagi gomezit, is immaterial. There's no difference if he did it with intent or without intent. And similarly, when the Torah never differentiates when one harms someone else's animal, if he did it derech yerida or derech aliyah. In all these cases, the Torah is lat lefatra mammon. The Torah doesn't excuse you from paying. El chayiv mammon, that you're going to be held responsible for pay for the damage you have done. Af makab behema. So since the Torah puts the halacha makab adam and makab behema next to each other, we should learn from there. Lo tachlik boy ben shagi lemezid ben miskav le emiskavin ben derech yerida le derech aliyah. And all these cases lechayiv mammon el lefatra mammon. And all these cases, you're not going to be chayiv mammon. The Torah is going, in all these cases, you're going to be part of a mammon because you're chayiv misa. So now that we already have a limud to teach us that there's no difference between derech yerida and derech aliyah, so now we go back to the question that we mentioned in our previous shir, alluded to in the beginning of our shir today. Why does the Torah have to have a special pasuk of kol cherim? Once we have a pasuk that says leisichu koifer lenefesh ritzeach, that somebody who kills someone else cannot be absolved through paying. So why is the Torah? Why do we have to have kol cherim? Says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rabbi Chama Itzrich. We have a pasuk. We need to have a pasuk anyway, because sakadat chamina heichad the simas enoi v'ragabai. That while he blinded the person, that's how he killed him. So since the chiv misa and the chiv mammon for for the damage he did to that person came at the exact same moment. Not just that it came at the exact same moment, but a little better. It came from the exact same act. He punctured his eye and that killed him. Aval hecha, the simas ein of a hergav dav acher, if he punctured his eye, and at the same time he also harmed him in another way. So since there are two separate acts, once there are two separate acts, maybe should be chayiv for each act separately. One for the chayiv of blinding him, he should have to pay mamon. And the second for killing him, that's why the pasuk has to teach us that since ultimately he died, he only is put to death, and he doesn't have to pay, and he doesn't have to pay any mamon. And as I saw, the Shita explains this Gemara in a very gishmak way. The Shita explains that what the Gemara means to say here is that, let's say he blinded the person, and before the person passed away, he blinded the person, then the person passed away. So since at the moment he blinded him, he's chayiv the mamon, because he's not yet dead, the victim is not yet dead, maybe that's what the Torah says, that even though he ultimately dies, we should say he has to pay the mamon for what came first, and then be put to death for what came second. Teaches us the Torah that that's not the case. Amalei Rava. So that's what Rami Bachama says, what we need the pasuk to teach us. Amalei Rava, says Rava to Rami Bachama, Hanami, this limud, we can learn from a different place. That the pasuk says, the Gemara asked me, either the Tana de Ben Cheski Nafka, we can learn it from a different limud that the Tana Becheskia taught us. The Tana Becheskia, the pasuk says, Ayin Tachas Ayin. The Torah is very specific. The Torah says that Ayin Tachas Ayin. The loy Ayin, the Nefesh Tachas Ayin. And what the Torah is telling us with this pasuk is that if he harm his eye, so you're only chayiv to pay for the damage you've done. It doesn't mean that the Torah is saying if he blinded him, he killed him, then he will only be chayiv one. Because if in the case where he killed him if he killed him, then he would be chayiv two, ayin and nefesh. So the fact that the Torah didn't say it that way, we don't need the pasuk to teach us that halacha, to teach us that even if simas einoi v'harga b'dava echar, the halacha is that you're only going to be chayiv misa and not chayiv mamon. So if that's the source that teaches this din, so we don't need the pasuk of loisicha kaifel nefesh ritzeach to teach us this din. Because if because the Torah is saying ayin tachas ayin, and the Torah is being very clear in saying that the only time you pay ayin tachas ayin is if that's all that happened. But if something else happened, then you don't have to pay. Then you don't have to pay for the ayin, and therefore I don't need the pasuk to teach us that if at the same time that you did the ayin, you also killed him, that you chayif too. Says the Gemara. So we're back to our question. Why do we need this extra pasuk? El Amar Rav Ashi Itzrach. We need the pasuk to teach us Sakadat Chamina. Since we learned that this is Chayav Chiddush Shechit Shabatayr B'Knas, this that you pay a Knas is a Chiddush. And therefore we would say that Knas comes with special rules. And why is Knas considered a Chiddush? So Rashi Masech Baba Kama Daf Hayom and Aleph gives two explanations why makes a knas unique. He says, whatever you don't pay exactly for what you've done, that's considered a knas. Furthermore, wherever the Torah sets a set amount, that's called a knas. And here, but when there's a knas, we would think that when there's a chiyuv knas, even though b'chala Torah kula, when there's a chiyuv Misa, and there's a chiyuv mamon. As we've so extensively been learning, we say kimleib d'rabim nei, but maybe not by knas, kamash malon. That's what the pasuk of l'sichu kaifel nefesh ritzeach comes to teach us, that even by knas, we say kim lebed rabbanei. But ask the Gemara, Rav da mechidish shechitshu b'tayr b'knas. As we've discussed, Rav's opinion is that actually by knas, that loch is afgav de mikdam mashalim. And we don't say kim lebed rabbanei. So hay kol cherim ay ovid lei. And says Gemara, we're going to have to say sovelo katana kam de b'chananya b'akiva, that he's going to say that the pasuk is coming to teach us a different din that we discussed in our previous shir, and that is if somebody was sentenced to death, and as he's being taken to be killed, somebody says erkei alai, and as we discussed, the Torah in Parashat B'chukosai gives every person based on their gender and their age a prescribed value. So now the question is, do you have to pay that value? Because this person is about to die anyway. And that is the question. Kamash Malon, that he's going to hold like that Mandomer, that he doesn't have to pay it, because he's viewed as a person that's not alive. And therefore, that law, and that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, that halacha. The Torah says, when we speak about oinus, as we've been discussing in this perek, the Torah speaks about somebody who violates a woman, and the Torah says, "Sula ashloi ra'asa." The Torah is speaking about a person, a woman that was never married. But what's going to be halacha if she was an arusa at one point, but now she's not an arusa? What is going to be her status? Because certainly, if the act of rape took place while she was still a Rusa, so then she's an Eishes Ish. And someone who has relations with an Eishes Ish is Chayiv Misa. And we're learning that if they're Chayiv Misa, we say Kim Lebed Rabbanei, and they wouldn't have to pay the Knas. Our mission is discussing a situation where a woman at one point was an Arusa, but now she's no longer an Arusa, and she was violated. It says the Mishnah Narshin is Arsav and Nisgarsha. She was an Arusa, and now she's no longer an Arusa, and she was violated. What is her halacha? Rabbi Yosef Glili ain't like Knas. Rabbi Yosef Glili says she's not subject to Knas. Rekiva Ima, Yesh le Knas. Rekiva holds she does get Knas. V'knasa la'atzai. The Mishnah, Rashi asks, that the Mishnah that we began, our perek on Daf Chav Tesa and Aleph Toros, that Baal Eishes Achiv Yesh Le Knas. What was the case? That this woman was Mureses and divorced from his brother. Because if she's currently married to him, so again, we would say Kim Lebed Rabbanei, because she's an Eishes Ish. So asks Rashi, isn't that Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes clearly a raya, not like Rabbi Yosef Glili? Because Rabbi Yosef Glili said that a woman who is as aris of an isgasha never gets knas. And the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes says that such a woman does get knas. Says Rashi, this is clearly a raya that Mishnah at the beginning of the perek follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Shita points out that since the Mishnah has come to teach us, says that we don't say that since Knas is a Chiddush, and therefore she should be Chayiv the Knas, even though it is a Chayiv Misa, says the Gemara, that's also part of what's included in the Mishnah. That while she's in Arusa, she's Chayiv Misa, there's a Chayiv Misa for violating her, and there is no Chayiv Knas, and we don't say that since Knas, as we said a few moments ago, that since Knas is a Chiddush, he would have to pay both. So Rabbi Kiva also said that the Knas goes to her herself. Says the Rishonim, that it's obvious that our Mishnah is talking about Anusa, because by an Anusa, the Knas goes to the father, so that's why the father will get the knas, because right now she's not an arusa. But if it was a mafuta, then the halacha would be that since she's already once married and she did it on her own, then there's no issue of mafuta. So ask the Gemara. My time to Yosef Glili that says there's no chiyuv knas by a narishness arsav and nisgarsha, says the Gemara Amar Kra. The pasuk says ashloi arusa. Who is the woman who gets knas, a woman who was never mureses, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, the pasuk is teaching us, ha-ara-arsa, if at any point she was mureses, ain lo knas, she's not entitled to knas. Rekiva Omer, Rekiva has a different interpretation of that pasuk. Ashlai rasa, if she was never married, then havia, her father will get knas. Ha-rasa, the knas will go la'atzma, and that's why we explained that if the knas is going to her, a mefuta who willingly participated in this act would not be entitled to the knas. Ask the Gemara, Elamato, if we're saying that the knas, if she was not mureses, the knas goes to her father. But in this asav, in this garsh, the knas goes to her. So we should say the same thing. The pasuk says that the din of knas only applies by a nara. So why, not by a begeris. Why shouldn't we learn the pasuk to teach us hachanami del atzma? She, that not that a begeris is excluded entirely from knas. It's a begeris gets knas. The difference between a nara and a begeris is that a nara gets the knas, a begeris gets the knas itself, and a nara gets the father get the knas. Similarly, the Torah says besula, and we learn from there often in this parak that v'loy beula, that this halacha only applies by a besula, not beula. Ask the Gemara the same question. Why don't we learn hachnami delatzma, that the knas, she is entitled to knas, but the knas will go to her and not to her father. So the Shita asks a question. Why does the Gemara have to keep on going, saying the question back and forth? Why did Gemara speak about each? Why did Gemara speak about each one separately? So the Shita answers that besula v'loy beula, we can understand why she doesn't get knas. Because once a girl became a be'ula, so her body had a very significant change. But the case of Nara of a Begeris is not such a significant change. And therefore, the Gemara kept each question separately. And the Gemara is actually saying that even if you say that you could understand that you could understand Besula v'loy be'ula, how are you going to understand Nara v'loy Begeris? Says the Gemara, Ella Lagamri. The Torah says the word nara, it means that she's a nara. And if she's not a nara, she's a begeris, she doesn't get knas. Again, and the same when the Torah says the word besula, it means when she's a besula. If she's a beula, she's not entitled to knas. Says the Gemara, so that's why Rabbi Yosef Glili says, Hachnami Lagamri, that Ashaloi Rasa, when is she entitled to the knas for having been violated? If she was never mureses. But if at any point she was mureses, she's no longer entitled to the knas. Answers the Gemara. So then how does Rabbi Akiva defend himself? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Hailei Rasa, Miboilei L'Chertanya. It's needed to teach us another limud. But this limud that Rabbi Akiva is now going to explain in the Braisa is different the opinion of Rabbi Akiva stated in our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva said, Nara shenis arso minis garsha knosa la'atzma. In the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva actually agrees that not only is a Nara's knas go to her father, but even a Nara shenis arso minis garsha, the knas goes to her father. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, and Amud Beis, that is actually a machloikis, how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. But as far as what we need to explain the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, to defend him from Rabbi Yosef Aglili's question, it doesn't make a difference which approach Rabbi Akiva is to be understood with. We will be able to explain it. First, the Braisa quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili that says Narashinus Arav Nisgarsha doesn't get Knas. Rabbi Akiva Aimer, Yesh Le Knas. But here, as we just pointed out, he says Knas Lavia. And says Rabbi Akiva did Noisin. Logically, we could come to this conclusion. We know that the father has a right to be mekabel the kesef kedushin if he marries off his daughter. And that gives him the right to get the knas. Ma kesef kedusha, the halacha is that even if a girl was arsav and nisgarsha, as long as she's still a nara, and now again she gets married, the kesef kedushin goes to her father. Af kesef knaso, the same thing by the knas, it doesn't make a difference. Af bishnas arsov and nisgarsho, even though she was as arsov and nisgarsho, the knas goes to Leviya. Says the Gemara, asks, what are we going to do with the pasuk according to Rekiva? And kematam alam shalay rasa. Mufna, it's available. It's available to teach us Gzeir Shava. Nemakan, in the parsha of Oinus, the Torah uses the word Ashlei Rasa. Vinemalahalon, in the parsha Mafata, the Torah uses the word Ashlei Rasa. So we learn Gzeir Shava. And the Gzeir Shava is Makan. By the Oinus, the Torah is very explicit that the amount of the Knas is Chamishim Kesef. The Torah is not explicit what is the amount of Knas by Mefuta. But we're going to learn through the Gzeir Shava, Af L'ma Halon Chamishim, that you have to pay Chamishim Kesef. But we don't know in what denomination that Chamishim is paid. But by the Mefuta, the Torah uses the word Shkolim. So I'll say by the Oinus, it also the denomination is Shkolim. And as the Rishonim point out, this has to be Gzeir Shava, that the word, or at least one of the words, perhaps both the words, have to be available for this Gzeir Shava. Because if it's not, we would be able to ask a question and refute the Gzeir Shava. And that's why we see from here that's why the Pasuk of Ashlei Rasa is needed for that Limud. And we can use, and that's how Rabbi Akiva can't recess Rabbi Yosef Glili. We don't use it to teach us that Narish and Arsav and Nisgarsha is not available to get Knas. And of course, I saw the Rishonim say that they must have had some sort of a Kabbalah, they must have had some sort of a Messiah, that this is a Gzeir Shavah to be learned. Because you can't learn a Gzeir Shavah unless you have a Messiah. And they had, Rabbi Akiva apparently had this Gzeir Shavah with his Messiah. And therefore, he says, the Pasuk is not available to teach us the halacha of, the Pasuk is not available to teach us, as Rabbi Yosef Glili suggested, the halacha of Narish and Arsa and Nisgarsha. But one of the things we actually just learned in our Gemara is the very important role, halacha that we've discussed previously as well, the very important role the father plays and the kedushin of his daughter. And therefore, there's a meaning that we know that on the day one gets married, you fast. A number of pshatim, why? One is because it's like a Yom Kippur for the chasen kala. It's a day they have mechilas avoinus. So just like on Yom Kippur, when we have mechilas avoinus, we fast. So too, on the day of a chasana, of one's chuppah, he should fast. Another explanation is, when a person enters the chuppah, both the man and the woman, they have to enter it with das. They have to enter it with a clear mind. And if chas v'shalom, they're intoxicated, we have to be concerned that maybe the kedusha wasn't done properly. Another pshat is, the Gemara says, that chosin moichon loy kolav anoysov. And just like I saw the Yerushalmi says, that when somebody is promoted, when somebody's oyla l'gdula, when somebody's promoted to a new position, to a serious position, he has to fast. So too is the halacha on the day of one's wedding. Another pshat is that the Gemara we learn to Masech the Shabbos, daf kuf lamed amar aleph, les ksuba de loy rama betigra. Every wedding comes to with some sort of dispute, and by fasting, that's how we resolve that dispute shouldn't make any difference. And some of these, there's some in Hagim that the Birkei Yosef quotes, Ben Ishchai quotes, that since, as we're learning in our Gemara, the father takes a very serious role in the marriage of his daughter, so therefore, there are those that have the mitzvah to get married, they're those that have the minig that the father fasts on the day of his child's wedding. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, my chazdash shalai rosa l'gzeir shava. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying according to Rabbi Akiva? That we use the pasuk of shalai rosa teaches to gzeir shava. Psula, we learn lamute bula, that somebody's a bula doesn't get knas. Epoch, maybe the way we should learn is besula, we'll use the word besula, which is stated in both of these parashas. Oynes emafata to teach us Gzeri Shava, and Asher Rosa is coming to teach us the Platchness Arsav and Nisgarsha, as Rabbi Yosef Glili suggested. Answers the Gemara. In other words, what the Gemara means to say is they had a Masaira that they should learn Gzeri Shava between these two subjects, Oynes and Pitul. The question is, which word should be used as a Gzeri Shava? And the Gemara is asking, maybe Bulav, like Bu'ola, should be the word, and not Leshlei Rosa. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Shlei Rosa Gzeri Shava. It makes more sense to say Shlei Rosa is the pasuk that teaches us Gzeri Shava, Shrini Kariba, because a Narish Nisarsav Nisgasha is still a Narab Sula. This girl that's Nisarsav Nisgasha could still be a Psula. But if we're going to say that we learned the Gzeri Shava from Psula, we're going to say that a Bu'ula gets Knas. And then it's going to be contrary to Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, where the Torah says, Psula, that the girl has to be a Psula. So we'd rather use Ashalai Rosa for the Gzeri Shava rather than the word Psula. But ask the Gemara, Adrabba, Psula Gzeri Shava. Isn't Psula better Gzeri Shava? Shreni Kariba, I will be able to say that a girl who had an improper relationship, Ashlei Rosa, and I won't learn it from Gzeri Shava, and I'll say that the Torah is not coming to teach us that an Arish and his Asav and his Garish doesn't get Knas, because I won't say Ashlei Rosa, because I won't learn the way it says in the Pashut, says the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara's question is, you want to keep the Pasuk as close as possible to the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk. So why are we more concerned about keeping the word Psula to the Pasha Pshat versus the Pasuk of Ashalei Rasa? Answers the Gemara, we have to use a new Svara. Mistabra, ha ishta nigufa, ha la ishta nigufa. The Gemara's answer is like this. We're going to have to eliminate one category of woman from Knas. It's either going to be the woman who is a basula v'loy ba'ula, or we're going to have to eliminate the woman who is nisarsha v'nisgarsha. Says the Gemara, it makes more sense to say that it's the woman who is, that the woman who is nisarsha v'nisgarsha should be the woman that is still entitled to knas. Why? So explains the Gemara that a woman who is arsav and is garsha, nothing physically changed in that woman. Since nothing physically changed in that woman, it makes sense to say that that woman should still be entitled to knas. Whereas the woman who is no longer a basula, there's a physical change to her body. She was originally a basula, and now she is a ba'ula. That's why the Gemara prefers to say that Nisarsa v'Nisgarsha, says Rabbi Akiva, is entitled to Knas. Besula v'loy Bula, a Bula is not entitled to Knas. But ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Glili has learned the Pasuk of Ashalai Rasa, Pasha Pshat, that a woman who is Nisarsa v'Nisgarsha is not entitled to Knas. But we needed a Pasuk to teach us that both by Oynes and by Pitui, the Knas is Chamishim Shkolim. So ask the Gemara, Hais Farah Manole, where will Rabbi Yossi know this then from? Answers the Gemara, Nafgalei Meditanya. The Pasuk says, by the Parsha Mefata, Kesav Yishkoel Kamar B'Soilus, Shiezeh, the Chiv that you have to pay by a Mefata, Kamar B'Soilus, the same amount as was paid by an Anas. And Kamar B'Soilus Kazah, and that's how we come to that conclusion that they both have the same amount. But ask the Gemara, as we mentioned earlier, in this Braisa, Rabbi Akiva said that a Narash Nisgarsha, Nisarsav Nisgarsha, is entitled to Chamishim Shkolim. Narash Nisarsav Nisgarsha, the Knas goes to her father. In our Mishnah, we learned, Rabbi Akiva says, Narash Nisarsav Nisgarsha, the Knas goes to herself. Ask the Gemara, Kasha Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. But now we have a steer in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Answers the Gemara, Trey Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva. There's Machloikus Tanoim, what is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Says the Gemara, Bishlam Reb Kiva de Masnisin, that says that an Arish and his Arsim and his Garsha, the Knas goes to her, Leosu Gzeri Shava, the Gzeri Shava doesn't have the ability, Mafkale Lekrav, Pashta Lekramri. The Torah says, Lash Loi Rasa, and the Torah seems to be differentiating, as Rabbi Yosef Glili has been saying throughout our Shir, there's a difference between a woman who had Arisin and a woman who didn't have Arisin. And now we could easily identify the difference. A woman who had Arisin, the Knas goes to her. A woman who never had Arisin, the Knas goes to her father. Ela b'kivet debraisa, according to b'kivet debraisa. The Torah does say the word Ashalai Rasa. But what is the difference if she had Arisin or she didn't have Arisin? Even though we're using the Pasuk for Gzeri Shava, we still have to pay attention to the words of the Pasuk, asked the Gemara. Ask Gzeri Shava, Mafke Pashta Lekra. Says the Gemara, Amar Avnachem Be'yitzik Kerebe, the way you have to read the Pasuk, because there are no Nekudas in the Torah. Ashloi Arusa, where the Torah is teaching us is, as long as at the moment of the Oinus, she is not a Mereses, that is a girl that gets Knas. But once she's not a Mereses, she's not getting Knas, then once she's not a Mereses, the Knas is always the same, whether it's always going to the father. But ask the Gemara, why do we need a Pasuk to teach us that if the girl is a Mereses, she's not subject to Knas? Of course she's not subject to Knas. As we often say, a woman who's Mereses is considered an Eishes Ish. If the woman is considered an Eishes Ish, she's a Baskila. And therefore, of course, there's no Knas because of Kimle B'Drabbanei. Answers the Gemara. Sakadat Chamina, however, Chiddush Hushat Chitchat Torah B'Knas. As we earlier said in our Shir, Knas is a Chiddush. And therefore, we ought to think maybe that Avakav the Mikdal Mishalim. That's why the Torah had to teach us that even though it's a Knas, we say Kimle B'Drabbanei. But ask the Gemara, well, Rabbah, but according to the opinion of Rabbah, that actually holds that Chiddush Hushat Chitchat Torah B'Knas. That by Knas, even though b'chol ha'torah kula, we say kim lebed rabbanei. But by knas, we do not say kim lebed rabbanei. And the halacha is, afgav de mikdal mishalim, mayik lemeimer, says the Gemara, savalak Rabbi Kiva de Masnissen, he's going to have to hold like Rabbi Kiva the Mishnah, that the purpose of the pasuk of Shloi Rasa is to teach us that in this arsav, in this garsha, even though there's knas, the knas doesn't go to the father, the knas goes to her. Tana Abonin, says the Gemara, by Knas Lami, a girl who's this Arsa and this Garsha, who gets the Knas? Leviyah. The Tanakam says it goes to her father, V'yesh Amr L'atzma. L'atzma Mai, says the Gemara, how do we end up, asks the Gemara, with a din that she gets the Knas? Doesn't the Pasuk say, V'nosan isha shaychiv ima laviyah nara chamishim kesef, you always give it to the father. How do we end up with her getting the Knas? Answers the Gemara. We're talking about a girl that's not your regular girl, not your regular Nara Basula, but she's your Nara Basula who is Nisarsum Nisgarsha. And this is the Machlaikis, but plucked up the Rebbe Kiva, the Masnitsim Rebbe Kiva, the Braisa, that the Aloch is that. This is the machlokes that we've been having, how to understand the pain of Rabbi Kiva. And our Mishnah Rabbi Kiva says the knas of Nisarsu and Nisgarsha goes to herself. In the Braisa we learned Rabbi Kiva holds Nisarsu and Nisgarsha, the knas goes to her father. And that actually is what is stated in the Braisa that we just learned.